I love how supremely confident children can be until society teaches them otherwise. I'm going to say that again. I love how supremely confident children can be until society teaches them otherwise. And our Father wants to bring us into a place of such confidence in who we are in Him. That society can't dissuade that. Social media can't disrupt that. Because we know who we are in Him. Saved by Him, established by Him, planted by Him, loved by Him. For who we are, as we are. Y'all turn in your Bibles to John 13. I apologize. I didn't manage my time well this morning. I was just really enjoying fellowship this morning before church, and I didn't realize, wow, we're late. Not that we're not always late getting started, but we were really late getting started this morning. So I kind of apologize. Y'all can tell that's a half-hearted apology because I love the intertwining of our lives. I love the intercoursing of our lives. As we come alongside each other in this journey that we're all on, I've just really been overwhelmed by, you know, last week we read Romans 8:29, and he talked to us about us becoming the likeness of Jesus, sharing the likeness of Jesus and looking like Jesus. And Jesus said, I look at the Father, look like the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so often in my life, that feels like a stretch. Because when I look in the mirror, Brett, be honest, I don't always see Jesus. You know, more often than not, I don't. But I know also that's the enemy trying to put shame and guilt and all of those things on me. So we have to push through that. And I have to see myself the way that he sees me. But he's been, as I said earlier before we got started, lately he's been bringing all these people back around into my life. You know, I'm not saying bringing them back in to pick up the journey and walk the journey again, but just seeing them. And I've been overwhelmed by the feeling that I have when I see these people. It kind of started at Brother Virgil's viewing that the Lord really heightened my awareness to it. But I'll see these individuals that I have not seen for years and years and years and years. And in my nature, there should be no animosity, but in my nature, there should be indifference. Because I'm kind of like, my world's big enough. I don't need to, you know, all these, you know, I'm just real content in my world. And so indifference should be what's there, but I've been overwhelmed with a feeling of love when I see these people. I mean, just like messed up over it, you know, where it's like, golly, man, I shouldn't feel that strongly toward that person. You know, those feelings of love. I hadn't seen them in 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, or maybe I know some of the backstory, some of the stuff that's going on in their life, and maybe their life is a hot mess right now. But I see them, and because our lives had intertwined in seasons past, and we had walked on this journey together, even for maybe a short segment, because of that intertwining, there was a love that the Father put in, and I think it's feeling His love for them, but it's also the way that I'm supposed to feel about people. It causes me to open my gates up. You know, I'll be honest with you, it's real easy for us as people to circle the wagons and just kind of, you know, shut down from everything out there. The people that are inside my circle wagons, that's great. We'll do life together. But the Lord Jesus did not live life like that, and He does not want us to live life like that. We're supposed to walk through this journey with open hands, with open heart, with open eyes, and to see what He sees and feel what He feels, and to allow Him to do what He wants to do in those moments or those seasons. I want to ask us a question this morning, and that's how do we love? How do we love? How do we love? And so the Lord carried me to John 13. To me, John 13 through 17 are perhaps, if not the most significant, some of the most significant scripture that we have in the Bible. It is Jesus hours before he is to face the Garden of Gethsemane, to face the trial, the scourging, the mocking, the everything that he went through in the Passion of the Christ. He was about to go to Golgotha and hang on a cross for us. He was about to go into the grave and experience and walk through all of those things. And he had just a few hours with his disciples. And I believe that the words that he said to them were not just words in passing, but they were the depth of his heart. And he said, I want to reinforce this in you. I want to reinforce this in you. I want to make sure that you get this. And so I find these chapters extremely, extremely significant. And it kind of launches out in chapter 13. And so let's just begin. We're in the Passion Translation. I'm going to read verses 1 through 17, so hang in there with me. Jesus knew that the night before Passover would be his last night on earth before leaving this world to return to the Father's side. I mean, that kind of makes a statement on the significance of this moment. Not that all of his moments weren't significant, but this was a really, really, you know, the word said that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem and he set his face toward the cross. So much so that some of the people, some of the villages rejected him because his focus was on the cross and was on the Jerusalem. Remember the Samaritan villages, and they rejected because he wouldn't stay with them. He's like, I got to go to Jerusalem. I've got to go. He knew the cross was before him. He was so focused on that that it offended some people. So there is a heightened sense of maybe, I'll use the word urgency in this. It is the last night that he will spend with the disciples on this side of the cross. It says, the next part of this says, all throughout his time with his disciples, Jesus had demonstrated a deep and tender love for them. And now he longed to show them the full measure of his love. Now I want to stop right there for just a second. Now I find it very interesting. I find it gives me insight into the heart of the Father. Jesus has 11 disciples that are about to go out and evangelize the world. They're going to establish churches. They're going to write books. They're going to bring people into the faith. They're going to do all of these things in the world as they knew it at that time. They are going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. And that uttermost looked like Turkey. That uttermost looked like Greece. That uttermost looked like Spain. That uttermost looked like India. One of the church fathers, one of the disciples, was actually martyred in India. I can't remember which one it was, but he was martyred in India. So they were going about to embark and go out all over the world amid very challenging circumstances, and Jesus, knowing that his time was at hand, wanted to show them one thing. I don't know, man. I'm thinking modern church. I'm thinking our mindsets, you know, maybe us. It's like, you know, boy, reinforce your power. Reinforce your authority. Reinforce your miracles. You remember the disciples, the first time Jesus calmed the storm, they're like, what manner of man is this? Second time he calmed the storm, they said, surely this is the Son of God. You know, they're going to be challenged on their faith in this man named Jesus. And surely you would come in and say, let me reinforce the fact that I am who I say I am. So let me show you some amazing miracle. Let me show you something amazing that nobody else could do to solidify who I am. Let me show you another Mount of Transfiguration thing where I look so much like the Father that I am glowing with presence, that my whole countenance, everything was transfigured before you. Let me do something like that. You would think that Jesus would come in and say, let me solidify in Marty Smith, in Lori Garner, in their faith by showing them that I am who I say I am. But not the Lord. What was the last thing that he wanted to do? To show them how much he loved them. Wasn't show you that I'm omnipotent. I'm omniscient. I'm in all that God's omnipotent. But if he wasn't omnipotent, he wouldn't be much of a God, right? I'm in all that God's omniscient. But if he wasn't omniscient, he wouldn't be much of a God. So for a supreme God, those are natural attributes. The thing that I am really in awe of is the way he loves. That's altogether like no other. The pagans thought their gods were all powerful. They sacrificed to them. They did all of these things. They set up, you know, all of these groves and all of these altars and all of that. And they thought they were all powerful. They thought they determined the growing seasons. They thought they determined fertility. They thought they determined all these things. They thought they were all powerful, but nowhere in there did they think they were all love. And he comes in and he said, in this last hour, and I want to solidify in your hearts for you to walk this journey out, prepare you for the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it with flashes of lightning. He didn't do it with any type of amazing spectacle or anything like that. He said, I want to show them how deeply I love them. I think we've missed our message through the years in the Western church. I think our message through the years has been too much on the depravity of man and escaping hell and gaining heaven. I think our message was way too weighty on that. So much so that we would have these evangelistic meetings and we would, you know, scare people to the altar. You know how hot hell is? You hear those screams? That's people burning for eternity. And that was our message, to try to convert people and control their behavior. Instead of showing them the true love of the Father. But the reason we couldn't show them the true love of the Father is because we had not experienced the true love of the Father. And I believe what is happening in the church today, and I believe it's been happening for the last several years, and it's happening all over the world. It's happening all over the world. Is we are beginning to see, feel, experience, and know the nature of the Father. And it's a Father that is deeply in love with us. And he says, I want to show you this, not how powerful I am. I want to show you how loved you are. There's one thing about me as a father that I want you to know, Errol. It's not what I can do for you or help or facilitate or anything like that. It's how much I love you. If you get one thing, it's how much I love you. And that is what he is releasing and breathing. He's not shouting it to the church today. He's breathing. I feel his breath more than I hear his shout. I feel his breath more than I hear his shout. And I'm so thankful for that, because that breath is a mark of intimacy. That breath is a mark of intercoursing. That breath is a mark of entanglement and intertwining that he desires to come in and to breathe and release into our life. As he takes us from this to what he longs for us to become. So Jesus comes in. Let's continue in this. He longed to show them the full measure of his love. Don't let that get lost on you. Don't blow by that. That of all the things he could have done, you know. Just think about if you're, Brother Keith, you're God. You're Jesus. You're about to go to the cross. What mark do you want to leave on your disciples that's going to make them just rock solid in their faith? I want to prove to them that I'm the Son of God. He says, I want to show them how much I love them. That's the difference in our God and every other God. That's the why our God is altogether different. Altogether no one else like him. The last thing I want to do is I want to show them how much I love them. I remember one time I was having kidney stones. It's the first time I'd had kidney stones, and they were, I'd heard descriptions because my dad had them his whole life and all that, but they were, I was in the office, and boy, I mean, it was just like rough, rough, rough. Any of you guys that's had kidney stones, you can relate to what I'm talking about. And it was just killing me through my back and all this, and it was up higher than I thought it was supposed to be and everything. And, you know, I called my dad because he'd had them so much. I'm like, hey, what is this? You know, and they're like, it sounds like it might be your gallbladder. You know, we all self-diagnose everything and all that. And that was before the day of, I mean, that's back in the day, years ago. And James came in the office, and I was laying on the floor. Just, you know, I was laying just like, oh, my gosh, you know. And James is like, brother, you think we need to go to the emergency room? And I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm having kidney stone, gallstone, heart attack, or what. I mean, my dad, you know, having all of his issues through the years, he, you know, he always had the nitroglycerin. He'd even had one with me in my office. I always kept one nitroglycerin pill in there, just in case. I done popped that thing. So now I had a screaming headache because every blood vessel in my body was as big as my thumb. And it didn't do anything for the pain. And I'm laying in the floor, and James's like, let's go. We're getting in your truck or whatever vehicle it was. We're going to the hospital. And so we start going. And I'll never forget this because, I mean, I was like dog hurting. And I'm consider myself to be a pretty tough guy. And I remember looking at James, and I was like, if I die, man, make sure Lori knows how much I tell her how much I love her. You remember that, James? I said, you tell Lori how much I love her. I mean, I wasn't sitting here and say, hey, here's where our financial stuff is, and we got this insurance policy and all of that stuff, anything. I wanted to convey one thing in that moment of, I don't know what's going on with me, but I wanted to convey one thing. That's tell her how much I love her. I want her to know the depth of my love for her. If it's my last wish, let her know how much I love her. And Jesus is coming in, man, and he knows the future. He knows what's going on. He knows what his disciples are going to face. My gosh, look at the book of Acts. And he says, I want to convey one thing to them, and that's how much I love them. How deep is my love for them? And so he comes in, and he does it as a, he performs an act. It said in verse 2, before their evening meal had begun, the accuser had already deeply embedded betrayal into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now Jesus was fully aware that the Father had placed all things under his control, for he had come from God and was about to go back to be with him. So, I've got it underlined, highlighted, and circled, that word so. In verse 3, Jesus was totally seated in a place of peace. What he was about to do was not a stretch for him. It was simply an extension of his heart. He wasn't, I can't let down my guard and take off my priestly robe, my rabbinical robe. This is a servant's job. I can't come down from this place. The thing I love about our God is he's such a stooping God. We're taken in the act of adultery, spiritual, physical, whatever. And he kneels down and gets eye level with us. And he pierces us with his love. He pierces us with his mercy. He pierces us with his grace. And Jesus was, we can say it, he was so secure in his identity that he wore a pink cowboy hat to church. I got a cowboy hat, and I got it at a place called Burns, and they've been making boots and hats and stuff since the 1880s. And that's a good looking cowboy hat, but I very rarely do I ever wear it, because I always talk myself out of it. Because I'm like, I don't want to look like a dang tourist or a wannabe. I mean, I'll tell Lori, I said, I really kind of am a cowboy. You know, we ride horses all the time, and I got cows, and I do all the cowboy stuff, you know, a lot of it, trying to qualify myself. But I always talk myself out of it, because I'm worried about what the perception will be. And Jesus was so confident, so seated in a place of peace, that he had no problem wearing a pink cowboy hat to church. He had no problem laying aside his rabbinical robe, because he knew he could pick it right back up anytime he wanted to. God wants us to be seated in that place of peace where we don't have to show the world how cool we are, how manly we are, how macho we are, how much we got it together, how much we've got it going on. But simply that I am beloved by the Father. And we're worried about, it's going to change our identity. It's going to change people's perception. I loved watching Michelle worship in the altar this morning. I just caught a couple glances, but the couple glances I got, I loved it. In that moment, she wasn't worried about. One thing I've always loved about you, Robin, you had never worried about, I'm going to worship. And maybe you wrestle with it, I don't know, but you push through so often. One of the greatest compliments I ever got from Sydney Hannah in one of the birthday cards that she gave me, and she wrote it out and all that, and this has been a few years ago, back before she became a teenager. And she was in the card, I don't remember what all she wrote, but she wrote it, you know, how much she loved me, and she said, "You're the best dancer in the world." Well, I know that's a lie, because I am straight up cornbread, one side down the other. I mean, if it comes to dancing, I got middle school move, and that's it with her. But she wasn't talking to me dancing on a floor or a club or anything like that. She was talking about me dancing as I worship the Lord. And when we get free in who we are, people notice it and they see it, and it gives them liberty to do the same. It gives them liberty to do the same because they're seated in a place of peace. Because we're seated in a place of peace because of how loved we are. And so I think this is huge. I know this is huge in John 13 as he comes in and he's about to do this thing. But it said that he was fully aware of how the Father felt about him. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer robe and took a towel and wrapped it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' dirty feet and dry them with his towel. But when Jesus got to Simon Peter, he objected and said, "I can't let you wash my dirty feet. You're my Lord." Jesus replied, "You don't understand yet the meaning of what I'm doing, but soon it will be clear to you." Peter looked at Jesus and said, "You'll never wash my dirty feet, never." And then I love Jesus' response. But Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, Jesus responded, then you will not be able to share life with me. This morning we've been talking about how do we love, how do we love each other, how do we love the world. We've been talking about entanglement, cross-pollinating, intercoursing with each other. And I think that the thing that keeps us from walking in the fullness relationally that we're supposed to is that we try to do like Peter. When things are good, I'll open my life up to you. When things are solid, I'll open my life up to you somewhat. But when I know I'm dirty, when I know I'm unclean, Peter said, you'll never wash my dirty feet. Peter was well aware of his limitations as a man. He was well aware physically what was going on, the fact that, yes, he was physically dirty, and that was the job of servants. And yet Jesus came in and said, let me show you my love. And he said, by showing you my love, what I'm doing is I'm coming in and I'm taking you as you are. And I'm stooping and I'm humbling myself to that. And I'm ministering to you. And the reason that we do not have deeper entanglement is because we always put up the front and the facade. And we never allow someone else to wash our feet when we're in the midst of being dirty. Brenda, I thought about you all week long. I really did. I don't think there was a day that went by that I didn't think about you and pray for you. And I didn't know circumstances. We had just a brief moment last week, you know, to where you said, man, things are, you know, she just lost a dear friend after a 9-year battle to cancer. She just moved. I mean, just had a lot going on lately. And by you being open and vulnerable, Errol filled me in on some stuff because I talked to Errol. I was like, have you talked to Brenda this week? And she said, yeah, and she filled me in on a lot of stuff we didn't get to talk about on our thing. But we try to close all that off from everybody because we don't want to see them in our places of maybe hurting or maybe confusion or maybe just going through a tough time or maybe I'm just in a little funk or whatever. And so what we do is we create space. And we don't allow Christ to come in and wash our feet. We don't allow Brett House to come in and wash our feet. We don't allow Scott to come in and wash our feet. We say, no, 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 I'm a hot mess right now. And Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, if you don't allow me to come in this moment, there's no way that you're going to be able to share full life with me. And we don't have depth of relationship because what we do is we stiff arm everybody. So we can't get the embrace that God intends for us to get. And so I come into a place where I'm wounded. And you know what I do? I stiff arm everybody that wants to, quote unquote, wash my feet. Circumstances have piled up on me, so you know what I do is I stiff arm everybody because I don't want Marty to see me in this hot mess. I don't want Keith or Randy to know I'm struggling. I don't want Gordon to see weak. Gordon's a strong man. I don't even see weakness in my life, vulnerability in my life. So you know what I do? I stiff arm intertwining. I stiff arm intercoursing. And I think in my mind, when I get stronger and my feet aren't as dirty, then I'll come around and maybe I'll let the Lord wash my feet. And he said, right now is when you are most vulnerable is when I desire. Because let me tell you something, guys. The thing that rocks my world about this is not just the humbling thing that Jesus did. But I want you to sit here and think about the circumstances in which he did it. Think about this. There were 12 disciples. One was about to seriously betray him. Anybody that's been betrayed, you know how bad it hurts. All 12 got their feet washed. He demonstrated his deep love to all 12. One of them was about to seriously betray him. They were all about to fall asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's in there in such a place of spiritual engagement. The word says he's sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. I've always believed that the battle for the cross was won in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus took the cup and received the cup from the Father. And in the midst of Jesus, I will say this, in the midst of Jesus' greatest spiritual battle, it wasn't the tempting after the baptism in the wilderness. In the midst of Jesus' greatest spiritual battle, the disciples fell asleep because they were tired. Just a few hours later, Peter was going to deny him three times. The Lord not only knew that, he prophesied to Peter that would happen. He was going to walk through all of that, go and hang on a cross between two thieves after he had been brutally assaulted, falsely accused and tried. And he was going to hang between two thieves for the sin of all humanity, and only one disciple showed up. I don't know if I'd have been there. But only the beloved showed up. And with the backdrop of all of this, I'm washing 24 feet. 24 dirty feet. 24 unworthy feet. 24 feet that 22 of those feet are about to fail me. And I'm sure in some measure John failed him in some areas also. But he said, I want to show you how much I love you. He didn't do it when they came back from the preaching tour. You remember when he sent them out by twos on the preaching tour? I think he sent, 70 out? They came back and like, son, even the devils are subject to us. We've been healing the sick and casting out devils, Lord, and all of that. He didn't say, man, I need to show y'all how much I love y'all because I'm proud of y'all. In the midst of your stink, in the midst of your stench, in the midst of your unworthiness, in the midst of your failure, Marty, he takes off his rabbinical robe and he gets down and he washes your feet. And not only does he wash them, but he dries them. And he's preparing them for healing. He's preparing them for healing. He's preparing them for wholeness. I want you to be in awe of how much he loves you. I don't want you to be in awe of the loaves and fishes. I don't want you to be in awe of the blind receiving their sight. I don't want you to be in awe of all of that. I want you to be in awe of how much he loves you. The rest is just the fruit of who he is. But he said, I want to show you how deep my love is for you. I'm going to read a couple more verses. He said, but Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, Jesus responded, then you will not be able to share life with me. Huge, huge, huge statement. He's saying, if you don't open your heart up, if you don't open your life up, if you don't lay down the tough exterior, I think it's significant it's Peter. He's the one that comes across as the big. When I think about Peter, and this is a compliment, when I think about Peter, I think about Gordon. Big, strong, tough guy. If I'm getting a fight, I'm wanting him in the middle of it, and I'll just stand behind him, let him take care of business. That's what I think about when I think about Peter. And he said, if you don't make yourself vulnerable to me, if you don't open your heart up to the Lord and become tender like a child, then you cannot experience the fullness of life with me. You can know me as Savior. You can know me in the free pardon of sin. But you will never, until we get to the place to where we open our hearts, open our lives, open our minds to the Lord and say, Lord, you have full access to everything. We'll never experience the fullness of life that he has for us. These are keys to life, Judah. But if you do that, then you can experience everything. Everything. I love Peter's response in verse 9. So Peter said, Lord, in that case, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head too. Love it. Then in verse 12, it says, after washing their feet, he put his robe on and returned to his place at the table. Do you understand what I just did? Jesus said, you call me your teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's who I am. So if I'm your teacher and Lord and have just washed your dirty feet, then you should follow the example that I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. Now do for each other what I have just done for you. There's two things in that. I have to be willing and able to come to him when he's at his worst and take off the robe of my, I won't even say facade, my identity. Say, man, I'm just going to come in and just love on you. I know it's ugly. I know it's nasty. I know you might be in the middle of a hot mess. But I'm going to gird the towel and I'm going to pick up the basin and I'm going to wash your feet. What that is a picture. I'm going to minister to you. And I believe that as a people, we have shrunk back from ministering to people somewhat because it's messy. Can you imagine what that basin looked like after he washed the feet of 12 disciples, dirty feet of 12 disciples? I don't see how y'all women take a bath. I really don't. I'm not a bath guy, and I'm digressing here. I had skin cancer cut off my leg this week, and she told me, she said, okay, for 2 days, you cannot get it wet. And I'm like, you know, and she's like, I guess you can take a you know, what kind of bath? And I'm like, well, nah, because I'm running power saw and a blower and all that stuff. I'm gonna stink. And so I go, you know, and that was funny, me trying to get in a tub and keep one leg from, you know, getting wet and all that. It was just no visual imagery, but it was hilarious. Felt like I was playing Twister game. But I'm laying here in this tub and I'm washing myself in the stink and the smell of a two-cycle engine. And I get out and I'm like, I ain't clean. Y'all can relate to what I'm talking about, everybody? Showers, brother, straight from heaven. But sometimes all the time when we wash people's feet, it can get messy. And it can get dirty. And there's residual that is sitting there. And that residual may try to attach itself to you, and all you got to do is just wash it off with the word. Wash it off with the spirit. Don't worry. But it usually looks messy, and it's usually not pretty. But he said, I just did this for you, and if you want to be my disciples, if you want to walk in fullness with me, if you want my nature, we talked about it in Romans 8:29, that we have the likeness of Christ, we look like Jesus, then that's what we do. The other side of that is when our life is a hot mess, quit stiff-arming everybody. You're hurting. Quit stiff-arming everybody. We hadn't got everybody faked off anyway. I know what our life looks like on Facebook and Instagram and all of that stuff, but the reality is we're all walking this journey and this road of humanity together, and we all get our bruises and our cuts and our scars and all of these things along the way. I guess what I'm saying is it will make you more whole by letting people in than it will by not. He said, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you cannot experience the fullness of life with me. So if you want to go through the life and you're like, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I believe in the Lord and all of that, but you want to isolate yourself, you may keep some dirt off of you, but you're not going to walk in the, you will not be able to share life with me. You know how we share life together? We share parts of the trail together. It may be a mile. I'll equate it to hiking. Maybe your knee's killing you, and so we slow down the pace. Maybe your back's hurting, so we have to lay in an ice field or let you lay in an ice field, and I sit there and patiently watch you, knowing it's bringing some relief. That's what this journey of life looks like. That when this person's brokenhearted, I cry with them. I cry for them. That's what the Lord was letting me feel this week toward you, Brenda. I had no idea of circumstances. I just knew last weekend you just, your earth was off its axis a little bit. You know, when we bear one another's burdens, that's how we bear one another's burdens. We share your victories. Oh, that's great. But you want to know real depth? When we bear one another's burdens. Washing clean feet, woo! But washing dirty feet? Easy to be a Chiefs fan when they win two in a row. We were out skiing the day after the Super Bowl, and I saw two or three Chiefs fans. They were wearing their Chiefs gear while they were skiing after they had got the dog mess beat out of them the night before. And I'm like, that's a fan. That's a fan. That's a fan. I want, if I'm Christ-like, I want to be like that in your life, Norma. And if I want to be whole, I've got to let you be that into my life. I'm not, Jesus said, I'm giving you a commandment in a minute, but you know, I view it not as a mandate. You got to do this. You know what I view it as? It's an opportunity. Let me read this last verse, and I'm going to leave it with y'all and let it marinate. I'm going to jump over to verse 34. In the verses in between, Jesus is talking about Judas's betrayal and prophesying about Peter's denial. Two really heavy things that are really bad on two guys. In verse 34, he said, so I give you a new commandment, love each other just as much as I have loved you. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. How will they know we're his true followers? What's your calling card? It's not signs and wonders and being a self-appointed apostle. I've had guys come up to me and give me business cards that's got apostle so-and-so wrote on it. I have. I kid you not, I have. I've had some do it right here in this church. Come on, hand me a business card. It's got apostle on it. Show me how much you love the world. Show me how much you love the world. How much do you love humanity? Not how much do you love the ones that are like you, that vote like you, that have the same value system that you have, that have the same likes that you have, same common interests that you have. But how do you love the world? How do you love your enemies? How do you love those that don't like you? Whose feet, let me break it down with this, whose feet are you willing to wash? That's real simple. Gordon, whose feet are you willing to wash? Whose feet am I willing to wash? And I have so missed God in that area. It's easy for me to wash your feet. Easy for me to wash your feet. Brother Keith, I've washed your feet on this stage up here before. Easy for me to do because I love you. But what about somebody that believes it's okay to murder babies? Or the warmongers? Or these, or these, or these, or these. You fill in the blanks. Whose feet am I willing to wash? I didn't say embrace their ideology. I didn't say condone actions. But whose feet am I willing to wash? And who am I willing to let wash my feet? I believe the answer to those two questions gives us a good idea of where our heart is. And I'll be honest with you guys, I've got a long way to go. But I'm closer than I used to be, Anita. Because I believe in the power of the seed. We talked about it last week. I believe in what he planted in here, and it's his nature. It's his spirit. Jesus said, it's better that I leave y'all. What? Because I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. We will win the world by loving the world. We will not win the world by winning elections. And I voted for the same guy that most of you probably voted for. And I'm proud that things happen, but my hope doesn't lie in that. We won't win the world by winning elections. We won't even win the world by changing the laws, and we should change some laws. But we won't win the world by changing the laws. We'll win the world by how we love. And Christ wanted, Jesus wanted to demonstrate how deep his love was for them. And that should begin to come more natural to us as we live in a supernatural existence, intertwinement with Christ, entanglement with Christ, intercoursing with Christ, you will see that old nature get washed away, die, get washed away. And you'll see the new nature come to life. Transformation, resurrection. And I'll tell you how the Lord will work. Listen to me on this, and I'm done. Y'all can go ahead and stand your feet. I promise I'm done in like 2 minutes. Some of you have had this happen, and it's not a big deal. I'm not trying to make it a big deal. But about a month ago, I went and got that cancer cut off my leg, and they sent it off for biopsy, and it came back. And she called me, and she said, well, it's cancerous. We need to take it off. We'll need to schedule whenever you're in town. And what they do on that was they go in, and, of course, first they give you some shots there that hurt like dang it, because they like light you up. She said, gonna feel like a bee. I said, bull, it feels like a hornet. Yeah, you had it on your face. Mine was on leg. Thank God. But what they do is they come in and they start cutting back. And they'll cut back and then they'll put it under a microscope. They'll send it to the lab and they'll inspect it. And what they're doing is they're checking the margins. And they will say, Brenda just went through this recently. They'll say, we will cut back as much as we need to get to whole tissue. And I'm thankful they do. But that's the way the Lord works. He will come in and he will cut on you and keep going until he gets to whole tissue. And when he gets to whole tissue, now he said, let the healing begin. So celebrate the scalpel. Celebrate the cutting away. Because it leads to rebirth. And that's part of what foot washing is. That's part of what foot washing is. Getting the whole tissue so rebirth can take place. Amen. Hope you guys felt the breath of the Lord this morning. Worship was awesome. The word was, while the delivery is not always great, the word was significant for your life. It's significant for your life. That's where he wants to take us. It's to where we love like Jesus loved. So as you walk, I pray one thought sticks with you as you walk through the week this week. Whose feet am I willing to wash? And who am I willing to allow to wash my feet? Let that stick with you. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That was the last thing he wanted to show them. Love you guys. I hope y'all have an amazing week. I don't think we're going to do an altar call this morning. Lori, you got something?
I just have a matter of prayer that it's been on my heart so much this morning. Sean Foote, if any of y'all follow him, he had posted, I think it was Thursday, that there in Syria, Christians are being highly persecuted and killed. And Thursday, there was 101 Christians in one village. And I pulled, he said, it's not making the media. It's not, why is this not an outcry? What's happening over there? And just since Thursday, I pulled it up this morning, just Googled it to see what would come up. And they're saying Syria's leader is calling for peace after clashes where Syrian security forces allegedly killed hundreds of civilians. They estimate the number to now be 745 civilians dead. And they called it, they didn't call them Christians, they called them Alawite religious. But it's, it doesn't matter, it's Christians. And this morning when we were singing, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I was like, God said, what are the surrounding villages feeling this morning? Are they meeting in secret? Because that's valid. There, I saw there was one picture, it was so graphic. Men, women, kids, teenagers, mowed down. Marty, it's like all of a sudden El Tsate, Honduras says, you're a threat. One day they're gone. There's no more Jesse, no more Jorge, no more little Rachel. And then they move up to the mountains and they wipe them out too. No more little Luz Marina. There's one little sweet lady there and she's about right here on me. And me and Errol kind of feel like she's kind of shunned in the community. She, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? I looked for her the first time, Alex, and I didn't see her that. She was at the lower one. And I'm so get so involved, sometimes I freaking and I hit her in the head. Because she's right here in my back pocket. I'm like, boop, sorry about that, Luz. But in my mind, Lord said, that's like they're gone. In 2 days, they're gone. And I'm like, Lord, we need to be more, help remind me to pray for them over there. Lay it on my heart this week, because this very moment, what's happening over there right now is just beyond, it's anything I can't even comprehend. It's so easy for me to say I'm no longer a slave to fear sitting here in American church. It's so easy. Lord, help them. They walk it every day. Father, let's just pray before we go this morning for these people in Syria, for the Syrian government. I pray that the true light would come forward, the truth would come forward, and the truth will set these people free. Father, I pray for those that have been murdered through nothing of their own except loving you, Father. I know great is their reward. Hallelujah. Great is their reward right now. But Father, I pray for those that are still alive. I pray protection over them. I pray supernatural peace that only you can bring in this volatile, horrendous, murderous situation that they're facing today, this moment, and tomorrow, and the weeks and days and months to come. They don't know what it holds, Father. I pray you be with them. Give them courage. Give them strength. Give them provision, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, in every area of their life, Father. I pray you would just touch them. Undergird them. We as American Christians, we want to undergird them. It's the only way we know how is prayer, Father. I know any other way to touch and reach them, Father. But I just pray a covering over them, Father. I pray this insanity would cease in Jesus' name. We believe it. We trust you. We give them to you, Father, and we just thank you for them. Thank you for their lives that will not be forgotten, that they stood on a principle of you, Father. Help us to remember them, the stand that they took, and the cost that it cost them, Father. Help us to remember that and be thankful that we can be encouraged, that we can go forth and we can speak in that boldness where we may have been timid before. We can speak in boldness, Father. Let their example not be wasted, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right, y'all have a great week, guys. We'll see everybody next Sunday.